Joseph Williamson was born in Liverpool in 1769 and made his fortune as a tobacco merchant. He was a well-known, if eccentric, figure in social circles. He had a keen social conscience and was involved in many charitable enterprises. The grandest of these was a scheme to provide unemployment to poor, unemployed labourers. Under his direction, long tunnels and chambers were quarried out of stone beneath districts of that city. He lived partly underground himself. His bedroom was a cave adjoining his house. Williamson once invited some of the gentry of Liverpool to dine with him in one of his excavated chambers. No doubt curious and relishing the novelty, many accepted the invitation and were welcomed by Williamson into a bare rock chamber. The only furnishings were a long trestle table and chairs. To the dismay of the guests, the meal was simple: porridge and hard ship's biscuits. Some guests shared their disgust by leaving immediately and were seen out. Then, for those who remained, Williamson opened a further chamber, richly decorated and containing a lavish banquet. Amused and greatly heartened, the guests ate and drank to their heart's content. Jesus' description of the tribulations to come can hardly have appealed to his disciples. He didn't promise an easy time. He offered little comfort, and the future seemed full of temptations and danger. The disciples couldn't have been blamed if they decided to leave Jesus, as indeed some of the guests of Joseph Williamson had done. In fact, it's fairly certain that many of Jesus' disciples actually did leave him. His invitation to the heavenly banquet was not a conventional one, seeking to entice. It was rather a bold challenge to discipleship and to perseverance. Throughout his ministry, Jesus warned that only those who would share his suffering would share his glorious new life. Why should the disciples have remained when there were so few signs of comfort or reward? Why stay when the explicitly stated dangers were followed by additional warnings of temptations and dissipation which would accompany their beloved Lord's return and risk their future security if they were found wanting? They stayed because they trusted the integrity of the one who invited them. Jesus presented them honestly with the truth of what they might expect when the time came for judgment. Jesus promised liberation, and liberation can only be achieved after a struggle with whatever or whoever is oppressing us. But they also understood that while Jesus sometimes asked the difficult or improbable, he never expected the impossible. His invitation to the feast of life may have required a period in the anteroom of struggle, but he never removed from them the hope of achieving heaven. He simply asked them to remain alert to the possibility of dangers and temptations which might divert them after he'd gone. Jesus never wants to lose a single soul and issues us with warnings so that we shall stand firm in our resolve and be prepared for whenever we have to account for ourselves. The beginning of Advent prepares us for the birth of Christ. The beauty of the Advent season doesn't protect us from all the pains and temptations of being human, but it does remind us of the urgency of the task of ensuring that we remain alert and awake for the coming of the Lord. In this season, we expect our Lord coming as a child, but we need to remember that we may also be called to account for ourselves sooner than we think. Jesus calls us to be strong and resolute in living as he prescribed. We'll be celebrating his birth, but at the same time, sharing in the struggle for liberation from sin, from death and disease, from ignorance and despair, our own and that of others. This is the work he has left us and called us to do. The media may be full of gloom with tragic pictures this past week of the migrant victims of Channel crossings, of scenes of violence and deprivation throughout the troubled regions of the world, with little hope and even less joy. This is our anteroom of struggle, remaining faithful through tribulations and aiding others in theirs. But this was foreseen by Christ, so it behoves us to hold fast and to have confidence. When you stand before Christ, he will know of your sacrifices. Your liberation and that of the world is at hand, Christ's hand, in which, by God's great mercy, we will be safe. Amen.